Well, it is so exciting to see you guys here. We've been, Scott Anderson and I in particular, and David Mathis, have been talking about getting you guys together and the possibility of starting a Chapter of the Gospel Coalition for about 3 years. So the fact that we are together in this room is just, I mean, I feel like, pinch me, you know, like I'm in the middle of a dream. This is so exciting. And hearing, we've got some folks from Eagle Brook, we've got folks from the Anglican community, we've got Presbyterians, we've got Baptists, we've got Bible Church people, we've got Acts 29 people. This is, if we're going to reach the Twin Cities Metro with the gospel, we're going to have to do it together. It's just that simple. And I think Tim Keller's right when he talks about gospel ecosystems, not even simply local churches cooperating with one another to reach a metro, but even parachurch ministries. I think we've got Here's Life is here as well. We need everybody. We need all hands to battle stations if we're going to take the Twin Cities Metro for Jesus Christ. So it's really, really exciting for us to be here together today. It just thrills my heart. When we talk about the Twin Cities Metro, it's important. You've heard from Pastor John, you've heard from Pastor Steve, really about the city proper. But when you try to understand the Twin Cities Metro, you know, it's a five-county sort of sprawling urban center. So we're not, it doesn't sort of fit the traditional, I grew up in New Jersey, and everybody just goes to the city which is Manhattan. There's only one city, that's where you go, and you take the train in. There's not this sort of urban sprawl. And so we're out in the western suburbs. We're about 12 miles. Minnetonka is about 12 miles, I think, from downtown Minneapolis. And so when we talk about ourselves, we call ourselves a suburban-centered, city-facing church. So by that we say, well, the place that God has us, that he wants us to reach, the city that he wants us to reach is a suburb. And that has its own set of idolatries, and it has its own, you know, upside. And so we want to celebrate the upside of the suburbs, and we want to be able to challenge suburban idolatries like the idolatry of family, the idolatry of leisure, the idolatry of money, and these types of things that are sort of happening in the suburbs. But at the same time, we don't want to turn our backs on what's happening in, for us, Minneapolis, because we're western suburb folks. So we want to care about what's happening in the city and not turn our living in the suburbs into a kind of retreat from the city. Does that make sense? So we want to be concerned about what's happening there and have a voice there. So when we talk about being city positive, we're talking about caring about our neighborhood. And in order to care about our neighborhood, I think we need to know where we live. You wherever you are, to do some research on what are the people like? What makes them tick? What drives them? What are their motivations? How do they make decisions? What do they live for? What do they long for? What are they 10 fingers, 10 toes committed to? And how does the gospel of God's grace speak to them where they're at? And then when it comes to the city proper, speaking, you know, as a suburban-centered, city-facing church, you have to ask the same kinds of questions. I think it makes ministry in the Twin Cities much more challenging that it's not sort of simply reducible to you've got Minneapolis, like this monolith like New York City is. So you've got to get to know the place where you live if you're going to be able to apply the gospel with wisdom to that particular environment, and then we're going to be able to see the gospel really take over and begin to bring about transformation. So when we talk about being city positive, we're saying exactly what Treichler said. Well, what do we want to do? We want to move toward these lost folks. We want to see the gospel change the city. And we want to do it in a way that really embraces people where they're at and brings the gospel to them through planting churches. 80% of worldwide church growth, 80% of worldwide church growth happens through the planting of churches, new churches. And church growth means not people who are already Christians now coming to your church, right? Not growth by transfer. But I mean, from pagan to Christian, 80% of it happens through church planting. And I know if you're in this room right now, you want to see the Twin Cities reach with the gospel, how's it going to happen? It's going to happen through planting churches. But we've got to ask the question, what kind of churches? And you had mentioned three things, that they're gospel-centered, that they're missional, and what was the third one? That they are significant enough size really to make an impact in those locations. And really, that's what sort of my talk is about. What kind of churches do we need to have? We need a ton of them. By the year 2030, we're going to need about 3,000 churches. if we want to reach the Twin Cities, that is to say, if we want to have 8% of the Twin Cities population, that would give us the tipping, that would be the tipping point, what Gladwell calls the tipping point, where you can really have an impact in a culture. We've got to have about 3,000 churches. This is only going to happen through a coalition. What kind of churches do they need to be? They need to be city positive, and they need to be gospel positive. Now, what does that mean? Here's what we mean by that. We mean that on the essentials of the Christian faith, justification by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone, or propitiation through substitution, that we're very clear that that is the central core. Because if that isn't the central core, it's very impossible. I think it's near impossible to have a real bona fide kind of fellowship with other professing Christians, as Pastor John said earlier. So we've got to be clear that we're establishing churches and we're cultivating in our churches this obsession with that gospel core. And then I think secondarily, what we mean by gospel positive is that the gospel isn't reducible to something that you preach to non-Christians, but that the gospel is what we continue to preach even to Christians. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who is believing. Right? Isn't that what that says? That's what the believe, that's a present tense. It's not simply like who has come to believe. It is what continues to save Christians. Because you and I and our people, we all still need to be saved. And we want that to be sort of the note that's struck in all the churches that we're sort of trying to encourage people to plant, and we're trying to encourage our non-Christian friends to be a part of. Let me show you where I get this idea from. This is this idea of gospel positive and the gospel sort of being the core that informs everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. And do you see what's happening here? So Paul says, I came to you, I preached the gospel to you, and you received that, past tense, you took that in, you became Christians, you're now standing in the truth of that gospel, and it's that gospel that is saving you. So when Paul writes 1 Corinthians and he says, okay, here's a church that's embroiled in controversy, that's broken up into all these cliques, how do we save people from that sort of parochial mentality? What will save them? The gospel. That's what he's saying. He's saying they need a deeper understanding of how the gospel applies to this sort of parochial mentality that we can have and this cliquishness that we buy into. So they need to understand the gospel more deeply. And when Paul sees that there are problems with families and people committing sexually immoral, engaged in sexually immoral behavior, he says, well, in chapter 5, how are they going to be saved from that? By the gospel. It's the gospel, believing the gospel that they're saved from that. Well, what about having that sort of siege mentality with respect to the world that you say, well, I'm not going to associate with non-Christians. How do you fix that? By believing the gospel, because it's the gospel that saves you from that kind of siege mentality. How do you save people from like taking one another to court? That's chapter 6. Right? You're saved by the gospel. How about marriage problems? Chapter 7, gospel. How about Christian liberty? How are we supposed to understand that? Gospel? Roles of men and women? Where does that problem? Where's the defect there? It's a faith in the gospel defect. What about spiritual gifts? Where's the problem there? It's a gospel defect. If I think that like because I am this, I'm a speaker, I'm better than you are, then I'm getting my justification for my existence. I'm getting my righteousness from my gifts rather than from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right? Or how do we get around this sort of being ashamed of the idea of a bodily resurrection from the dead? Because the Corinthians would have been fine with the idea of the immortality of the soul, but this idea of the body, the resurrection of the dead, how do we get over that? Believing the gospel. How do we change our giving so that we're generous? Chapter 16, believing the gospel. That's what Paul is saying here. It's the gospel by which you are saved. And if we are not in our congregations helping people to see how the gospel's implications work themselves out in daily life, then we're really not helping our people. Does that make sense? So when we talk about being gospel positive, we're not just talking about agreeing on the core, this idea of propitiation through substitution. We're talking about a philosophy of ministry that flows from that core and that's explicit about the connection between the way I'm living and that core. And that's what we want to, when we got together and we said we want to bring these guys from all these different churches together and talk with them about it, we want to say, this is what we're all about. We don't think this is rocket science. We think this is really basic. It's about getting clear on the gospel. It's about loving our neighbor. And if we can help each other to do that for the advancement of the gospel in the Twin Cities through catalyzing church planting and convening people from different ministries, I think we're going to be much more effective. Instead of having 15 streams all kind of going their different direction, if the A29 guys knew what the PCA was doing, they wouldn't plant one church on 12 Maple Street and the other one on 13 Maple Street. And just that alone would be huge, wouldn't it? For us to just know what each other's doing in gospel-positive, city-positive churches. So, see, I went even shorter. I went about 15 minutes. That's really what this is all about. That's what our passion is, and that's what we want to get you guys excited and talking about. And if we can be of any help, that is Bethlehem Redeemer, in continuing this conversation so that we can have a chapter of the Gospel Coalition. And we're the people on the ground here. We know the Twin Cities better than people from some national organization, as great as that organization is. And then we can bring guys like that to us and ask them questions and say, you know, how help us to do ministry more effectively here on the ground. That would be, in my mind, a home run for us to hit. And again, I commend you guys for coming today, especially that you're from so many different ministries and so many different denominations. If we can agree on these things, the centrality of the gospel and the teasing out the implications of that gospel message and on loving the city, that we might transform it for the sake of the kingdom, then we're going to get some stuff done. And it's going to be awesome to see what God does. So that's my two cents. Scotty.